Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. Romans 8 and 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Can I get an amen on that? Again, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Simple, cut, and dry. I mean, to the point, there is no if, there's no questions about it. That verse explains itself. Either you are or you're not. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this chance, oh God, that you have given us, that we can learn more about you, learn more about your ways, learn more about what you expect of us. We thank you, God. We thank you for the listeners, God. We thank you, Master, for bringing our sister back, oh God. We know that she was out of the country ministering, God, and we prayed, we intercede, and we thank you, God, for giving us the victory. We thank you, Master, because you said, oh God, that all we had to do was ask, and you said where two or three would gather, that you would be with us, and we believed, and we did, and it happened. And we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Master, we know that there are a lot of things that are going on in the world, God, but we know that you are able, God. You are an able God. You are our sustainer. You are our keeper, God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you right now, God, for opening up our eyes so we can see. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Last week we learned that our heart has eyes, God. The heart that you have instilled in us has eyes. Oh, Master, we ask that you open up our eyes so we can see. Open up our hearts that we may receive your word this day in Jesus' holy name. And we all say amen. We thank him. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Now, we know that we have been talking about the heart. As we come to the conclusion of this, this is a series. We've been talking about it for 4 weeks, really. We see that the heart is a major player for all of us. Whether we know it or not, the heart is important to us all. This is where our emotions are, our feelings lie here. This is why God looks at our heart and not at our outer appearances. He looks at the heart. The heart is a heavy player. The heart, yeah, it's so delicate. Right now, this February is Heart Month. But, of course, Heart Month should be every day because we should always pay attention to our hearts. Yeah, our heart. The heart holds hurt. It holds pain. The heart can keep a secret. The heart can keep a secret for years and years. The heart, think about it. The heart many times requires a hug or even an encouraging word. The heart requires that. It either requires you to receive it or it requires you to give it. Yes, the heart, a major organ that we should take real, real care. I would say better care than what we're doing with our heart. So move quickly with me to the book of Amos. And in the book of Amos, we see that the primary focus of this book is God's concern for our wholeness, our holiness, and our right living. This is his concern. This is where his heart is. So we just want to just touch a minute on the heart of God, right? In the book of Amos. And Amos chapter 2 tells us that for three transgressions of Israel, let me see, Amos chapter 2, verse 6, he said, I will not turn away to its punishment. So he's making a statement. He's making an announcement that there was some transgressions. There was transgressions or sins. And most of the time, you know, we know that we have sins that are sins that we know about, and we have unknowing sins too. But sometimes we have sins that we just do it and we don't care. Well, here we are in this particular lesson. Yeah, sins. Sins against people. Listen to this. They were selling the righteous for silver, the poor for a pair of sandals. Think about that. Think about that. For a pair of sandals. Think about it. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor. Yes. And they pervert the ways of the humble. So to them, the humble, was they were the issue. They were the ones. They had the problems, not the other. They didn't see themselves. You know, a lot of times we see people who are in sin. They can't see that they're in sin, but we can sit back and we can look at it and see the sin. We can see how the enemy is turning their thinking, how he twists their mind. We see it, but they have blinders on. They can't see. The only way you can see is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Glory to God. That's how you can see. That's how you really, really, really can put on those spiritual eyes. And see, it's when you go to God, when you have secret prayer, when you go into that secret place, wherever your secret place is. Yeah, your secret place could be outside on your back porch. Your secret place could be sitting in a boat. Wherever the secret place is, and you spend time with him, that is important. That is the time that really matters. Yeah, yeah, think about that. It says here, a man and his father go to the same girl. Now think about what that means. The father is having sexual intercourse with the particular woman as well as the son. And we know that in the book of Deuteronomy, God is totally against that. That is completely a curse in the eyesight of God. But this is what was going on. This was the defilement that the Lord was actually looking at, and he was witnessing, and he was letting them know no longer will he turn and look the other way. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we get there, and I know we have done it. Hello? We have prayed for people. Oh, God, help them, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, you know, just whatever we're saying. And you don't know what that person has actually done. You don't know. But see, God knows. But you're praying and you interceding and you're asking God to help them or remove whatever. Hey, there come a time when the judgment seat is going to sit down in the middle room. Did you hear what I said? Because too many times God has been lenient. Too many times he's given you the first and second and third and fourth chance. And you... what? You continue on in sin. You continue ruining people. You continue messing with their minds and teaching and training them how to be just the opposite of what God requires of them. God gets tired too. Yeah, we know we always hear that he's a loving father. Oh, yes, he's a loving father. He's a loving savior. He loves us. Yes, he does. But he has a time. He has a limit just like we do. You know, you have a limit. You have a time. You have a, what you may say, this is my limit. This is my cutoff period. Well, he had one too. And this is what's going on here in Amos. God's heart is broken. His heart is broken right here. It says our hearts should be concerned towards those who are less fortunate. The least, who are around us all the time. Our hearts should go out to them. We should learn how to put aside what we think and what we feel and what we want. Me, me, me should go somewhere else. Can I get an amen? The poor, the sick, the widows, and the elder, the orphans, they should be up front. We should be concerned. That should be our check-off list. Who I need to check on? What I need to do with that? Huh? Matthew 6 and 21. Look at that. Matthew 6 and 21 tells us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Think about that. Now, if you're carrying the heart of God, if you have taken on, huh? If you have taken on the relationship with him, if you have spent that time that we talked about on the back porch or in the boat or wherever your moments are, well, then you have come to the place where you want to spend time with him because you want to intercede with him because you want to have a better relationship, a better understanding of what he requires of you. And once he has done this, once you have gotten the knowledge, once you have spent the time, then you, who are in Christ, is going to clothe yourself into it. You're going to begin to act out what our Lord and Savior Jesus requires. You're going to be the light. You're going to be the light shining in the dark place. Hey, and men are going to see you. They're going to know there's something about that sister. There's something about that brother. Something different. Why? Because they're spending time. They're on the boat. Are they on the back porch? Are they just in the kitchen? Sometimes you could just be in your restroom. Huh? But that's between you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about it. Yeah. The heart is known as the center of our oneness. Our heart. You know, last week we learned that the heart has eyes. The heart can see. Think about that. You know, we mentioned how parents have told the children, oh, well, just who your friend is. And the kid would say, oh, my friend is so-and-so. And the parent would say, well, just bring him around here so I can see him. I just need to look at him. And you would sit there, you say, well, what they going to talk about? They're going to look at him. Hey, parents have eyes. And they have spiritual eyes. They can see. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the right parent now. The right parent can see through it. Yeah. Our treasures, our things, the things we love, the things we think highly of, are things we treasure. Just to name a few of those things, our home, our children, our cars, things we should treasure are the church. Our relationship with God should be top. It should be top. Why? Because he has gone and prepared a place for you and me. So that should be our complete treasure and bringing others with us. Yeah, that should be tops. That's where our treasure should be. Not on things on the earth, not on the house and the car and the children, but on things above, on things out of this atmosphere, out of this universe. Yeah. We hear it, we sing it all the time. I got a home, huh? He has prepared a place. 1 John 20. Go real quickly. 1 John and 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Think about your heart. I remember a while back I used to have someone that I would minister to, And they would always condemn themselves. They were always condemning, you know, I messed up. I shouldn't have did that. Oh, I'm just terrible. And I would say, that's why we have an advocate, and his name is Jesus, that we can go to him, and we can repent, and we can tell him all about it, and he's going to free us from that, and we're going to be able to be clean, and he's going to wash us, and we're going to move on, and he's going to forget it. He's never going to bring it up ever again. But that person could never believe that. The enemy was holding them. The enemy had them held down, that they were no good, that God would not hear them. The enemy will use this verse here. For if our heart condemns us, think about that. If our heart condemns us, you have to remember that God is greater than your heart. He's greater. This is something worth remembering. God is greater than our hearts. Mm-hmm. Even if my heart don't feel like I deserve whatever it is, he's still greater. He's still merciful. He's still a loving and kind Savior. He loves me in spite of, even when I didn't do what I should have done. He's still loving me. He's still loving you. Verse 21 says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. If our heart don't condemn us, think about that. If it don't condemn us, we in the right place. We got the right relationship going. We don't have any problem. We got complete clarity on who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Because our heart, remember, our heart has eyes. Our heart is where our feelings lie. Our heart is where our emotions are. Our heart. If and when our heart may condemn us, we trust and believe, did you hear me, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he's our Savior. He is our Redeemer. Quickly, I just want to say this here as a self-examination. Do I wake up angry with folks? Do I live in a world where everyone owes me something? Do I stay away from people who are always in need? Think about that. This is self-examination. So where is your heart? Is my heart in this place? Am I making a note of who's sick and who needs? And who needs to be encouraged? Am I making a note of that? Someone who needs to be encouraged, they need a phone call from me? Am I making a note of dropping off someone's groceries because they can't get out to get them? And am I making a note that I won't go and tell everybody what I did? Am I making that kind of note? So where is your heart? Where is your heart? Am I checking on a bereaved family? Am I just giving them a call? Am I just taking the time to pick up a card, put a stamp on it, write a note, and they letting them know that I love them while they're going through? Where is your heart? The main thing here is Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. And it says here, above all else, guard your heart. Listen to that. Guard it, for out of it is the wellsprings of life. Guard it. Your heart. It's the best leader. Your heart is the best leadership tool you could ever have when you're following Christ. Because, see, if you're following Christ and your heart tells you whatever, your heart is following Christ. So your heart is going to tell you, well, thus says the Lord. Yeah. Everything you do comes from your heart. Whether you laugh, whether you cry, all your emotions are tied up in your heart. Think about people who are shopaholics. They're emotional shopaholics. They're emotionally shopping. And most of the time when they're shopping, they don't want that. The heart. Think about that. The heart is so important. The enemy tries to steal the heart. The enemy wants to take your heart away from God. Remember, God looks at the heart. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for your protection, protecting our hearts. We thank you, God, for your divine guidance. And your guidance, oh God, is divine because you show us where to go, how to go, what to do, what we should not do. We thank you, Lord. We pray for your keeping power. We pray, oh God, that you keep us, oh God, under your watchful care. Keep us, oh God, and protect our hearts from hurt, harm, and danger. Our hearts are very delicate. Oh God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus. We need you to guide our hearts, to lead and guide us into all areas that we need to be in the ministry, in evangeling. Yes, there are a lot of us that need to be evangelizing right now, this day. Yes, the intercessors, where are you? God is calling for the intercessors to come forth and pray. He's calling for the evangelists to get out. Go and talk to that wayward girl, the one that is always high, the one that nobody don't want to talk to. Hey, this is what we're talking about, the heart, how our heart will lead and it will guide us in the right places. Our heart will show us how to go and talk to that dad who has tried to molest his daughter. Our heart will talk to us about that mother who's an alcoholic and sleeps around. Our heart has the power. Our heart has the ability to speak to that young man who's stealing from his job. Our heart, the heart of God, the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has the power, I say, has the mighty power. The heart has been anointed. It is designed by Jesus Christ, the heart of God, to go forth and not just sit and dwell and suck up what you hear, the scriptures, and just you learn it and you keep it. You're learning it to share. Someone needs to hear you. You need to reach someone. You need to. You have sit and you've heard the word. I remember one time in church, that's what the pastor told the congregation, and they were all shocked. He said, put away your Bibles. You don't need your Bibles today because you hear the word every Sunday. Now you need to pray the word. Pray it. He required us to pray the scriptures that we had studied, the scriptures that we have been holding dear to us. The Bible tells us that there will come a time when we won't even have a Bible. We will have to have it in our hearts. The word is going to be in our heart where no one will be able to take it from us. So there comes a time when we, you, me, need to start. Start using what God has given us. where we have sit down, where we have took notes, where we have heard over and over, where we have gone through Bible studies, Sunday school lessons, women ministries, all kind of conferences. We have the word and it's in us. God is calling for a nation to rise up and stop laying down dormant and acting like you are not worthy to open up your mouth. He has anointed you. He has blessed you. You're not just hearing this by chance. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God is telling you now, it is time to rise up. Get up. Do not allow the enemy to come and talk and tell you you are not capable, because you are. You have been touched by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has come. He has redeemed you. He has allowed you to sit and hear the word. He has allowed you to pick up a pencil and write down the scripture. He has allowed you to do the research. Now it's time to use what you know. Start off small. You don't have to start off big. Start off small. Write a note. Have a one-on-one. Whatever it is that you can do, it is time to do it now. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord is saying that it is time to go forward. It is time to move. In the area you know that you need to move, you know who you are. This is the day. This is the hour that God has commanded you to move. Stop being fearful, knowing that you are not alone. He is ever present with you. He said that all you have to do is open up your mouth, what? And he will speak through you. Glory to God. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Hear the word. You have heard the word. Now be the word. Be the word of God. Be the word. Stand in a dark world. Let your light so shine that men will see you and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Yes. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for listening. We know that we have listeners all over in the UK. We know that you're listening and you hear us. Wherever you are, do your part. There's something you can do. A wayward girl, someone that doesn't have a parent, doesn't have a mom, doesn't have a leader to guide them, you can do it. Stand up now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for listening ears. We thank you, God, for opening up hearts, oh God, that we will receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday, and of course on Saturday and Sunday. Glory be to God. Yeah. Remember, you have the power. God has given you the power. He has anointed you. Stand up. Somebody's waiting. Somebody is waiting. Somebody. I don't know who it could be, but someone is waiting to hear from you. An encouraging word. That'll start it. That'll open the door. Just encouraging. Letting them know that they can do whatever it is that God has ordained them to do. Think about it. And you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. Yes. Amen.